Hi, and welcome to the Meat Make Matter podcast. This is the podcast that celebrates community building and the joy of in-person connection. Here, we share stories, ideas, and tools to help you meet new people, make something meaningful, and matter in your community. I'm your host, Tanya Childers, a lifelong club enthusiast. Thanks for listening, and let's get started. Today, I'm talking with the founder of the Paso Robles Woodcrafters, a woodworking club based in Paso Robles, California. If you've ever been curious about woodworking or starting a craft club, or how to build real friendships through some creative hobbies, this episode is for you. When Morgan moved to a small town, he couldn't find a woodworking community, and he decided to make one himself. What happened next is pretty incredible. He shares one story that genuinely brought me to tears, a reminder of how these creative circles can mean a lot in some people's lives. So whether you're upcycling furniture like I do on the weekends, or dreaming of starting a local club, or just love hearing stories of connection and craftsmanship, come along for this inspiring conversation. Hi, Morgan. How are you?
Hi, Tanya. I'm great. How are you?
I'm really good. Thank you so much for being here today.
Well, thank you for having me. I've been excited to do this.
Wonderful. Now, woodcrafters, this seems like a big category. Can you tell me a little bit about what it all includes?
Well, woodcrafters is kind of a all-encompassing. If you work with wood, you are a woodcrafter. And it could range from big things like building cabinets to small things like carving little Christmas ornaments. But it can range from cabinet making to frame making, furniture, instrument making, violins and guitars. That's known as luthery. There's scroll saw work and making toys and wood turning on a lathe. There's just all sorts of things that can be categorized in woodcrafting.
Wow, you're not kidding. That's a lot. When did you discover that you had an interest in woodworking?
Well, probably all the way back to when I was a kid. My dad would make stuff out of wood, and it was usually little puzzles and games, and give them to me and my brother. So that was always really interesting. And we had a garage with some basic tools, and there was always wood around. So we were gluing things together and cutting things with a saw. So it probably goes back quite a ways.
I see behind you, it looks like there's some woodworking tools. That's quite a setup you've got.
Yeah, I've got quite a bit of tools out here in my workshop. My lovely wife has let me take over the entire workshop, and she gracefully parks on the driveway. So it works out really well for me. And when it's raining, I feel bad for her.
Well, what made you decide to start a woodcrafting club?
Well, I certainly never had any intention of it, but I had moved to a new area, and I didn't know anybody there. I was wanting to meet people and make some friends and connect with people who had some similar interests. And so I was online looking for a local wood club, and I just couldn't find one. And so I decided to make one.
Well, good for you. If someone's thinking, I wish there was something like this in my community, what do you think's the first small step they should take?
Well, definitely, look for it first. I didn't want to create something that already existed and make enemies by having this competing wood club. I would have been happy to join another one. So, look and see if something like that exists. And if it doesn't, and you decide that you want to try it, and if you were like me and you didn't know anybody, I got on the Nextdoor app and I asked people, is there a wood club? And a lot of people answered and said there used to be, but there isn't anymore, and I'd be interested in it. And so I just gauged like this tiny subsection of my neighborhood and saw that a couple of people at least were interested in it. And that got me going.
Great. Really good suggestion on that. Now, what was your process? So once you've discovered there might be some interest, there wasn't another wood crafter club, what were the steps you took to get it started?
Well, I have a background in marketing, and in my career, I build a lot of websites and I do a lot of graphic design. So for me, a natural first step was to just make a real simple website. So I did that. I got the domain name PasoWoodcrafters.com, and I built a website. I got social media channels on Instagram and Facebook. But the probably the most important thing I did, because, you know, those things were out there, but unless you advertise it in some way, it's just not likely that people are going to find it. So I did go back to that Nextdoor app and I put, here's the website. But I think that the thing that was most effective was much more traditional marketing. So I made some, postcards, just some 5x7 postcards, and put some pictures of different types of woodworking on the front and on the back. It was calling all woodcrafters. It was about Paso Robles, because that's where I am. So that's why we have the name PasoWoodcrafters.com. And I put on the postcard that it was free and that it was open to all skill levels. And I listed some examples of different woodcrafting that people might be interested in. And so I printed that postcard and I took it down to our local lumber stores and some of the hardware stores and where people would be frequenting. And the managers and the owners of these places were so generous and they were excited about it and they put it out on their counters. And that's really where people learned about it more than anything else.
I love that you knew enough to go to where likely other interested people would be and that you had the support of the store owners. It sounds like there was some excitement to have this type of club in your community.
Yeah, there was. And I was really, I live in a small city. And so the owners of these stores or the managers of the stores are just very friendly and they were very open to helping support something like this.
So now you've got people interested. Where do you go from there?
Yeah, well, I didn't know if people would be interested, but suddenly I put these postcards out and I think it was within a day that suddenly in my email, I had a form that someone filled out on the website and said, I'm interested in joining the club. And a little bit of me was like, I need to have a club for somebody to join the club. And so now, now I'm in like rush mode. Okay, I've got to put some plans together. And while I'm thinking about that, another form came in and another form. And so by the end of a couple of days, I had five or six people that said, I love this idea and I have a small workshop and what are you going to do? And so I had, within that time, I was working on this idea with my son who lives in the same city and he's a guitar builder. You can see his guitars at lucaschildersguitars.com.
Nice plug. He makes guitars.
He would be mad if I didn't mention that. And so he agreed to have this first meeting in his driveway and to open up his garage door and let his workshop be the backdrop. And so I made this announcement to the people who had filled out the form and I put it on the website that we were going to have a first meetup. And we had some pizzas and we had some chips and crackers and some waters and iced teas and stuff. And we came to the day. And he and I were sitting in his driveway and here's these pizzas. And it was 5 minutes after that started the event and no one was there yet. And I thought, oh, okay, well, this is a little bit And then someone drove up and two people got out of the car. And I thought, okay, well, it's the four of us now. And then two more. And before we knew it, there was almost 25 people that showed up.
My gosh, 25.
Yeah, it was really cool. And people brought their chairs and they set them up in a big circle on the driveway and we were off and running.
I've got to ask. I mean, one, I went on kind of that emotional roller coaster of, 5 minutes in, nobody's shown up and you know that feeling of disappointment. And then suddenly, like the movie moment, you build it and they will come and they start coming out of the cornfield and there you have a full-fledged meeting. Tell me something that's maybe surprising or a surprising moment that has come out of these meetings for you.
Well, it was a surprising moment because, I just thought no one's going to come to this. And suddenly there's not even enough space on the driveway for all these people. And they're all looking at me. And, I wasn't 100% prepared for this. I didn't have enough pizza for all those people. But so we were going in a circle and people were introducing themselves and some people brought things for show and tell on the kinds of things they like to make. And other people made things that were so big that they couldn't bring it. There was a guy there that builds boats. I mean, the kind that go on the ocean. And he brought some pictures. And so we're going around the circle and we're introducing ourselves. And there was a young man probably in his early 30s. And And he said, I've never made anything out of wood, which was perfectly okay because, you know, all the promotions that I did said anything from this is your first day to the advanced experts can come to this meetup. Well, he said, I've never built anything before, but I was hoping to come here and learn something because I have a special needs child. And at our home, we have a deck in the backyard that's about 3 feet off of the grass. And my child can't get from the deck to the grass, and I want to build some stairs. And before you knew it, there was three people that had their hands raised, and they all were local handyman and general contractor types. And they said, we want to come over to your house, and we want to not just help you with this project, but teach you how to do it so that if you want to build more stairs somewhere else, you can do it yourself. And it was just this most touching moment. Like, I had no idea this was going to happen. No one here knew each other. And here's this community coming together for this young man and his family in a way that, like, it almost just stopped the whole show. It was like everyone had a tear in their eye.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, wow. What an impact. Talking about mattering in a community.
Yeah, for sure.
How special. That is really a special moment. Thank you for sharing it. Well, so now switching gears from that, I just want to soak in how beautiful that story was for a second. But talking about the Paso Robles Woodcrafters Club, what does it do really well?
What does it do really well? It, you know, I think back to that first meeting, and one of the things it did really well, I realized, you know, originally it was a little selfish. I wanted to put this club together so I could meet some people, make some friends, connect with people, and, you know, maybe spend time in the workshop with some other people. And at that very first meeting, I realized all of these people are doing the same thing I wanted to do. You know, at the end of the meeting, there's a group of four or five people, and they're all over here talking about scroll saw work. And there's another group over here talking about carpentry. And these two people are talking about, well, I started these cabinets, but my angles were off. And all of these people were connecting. And it was all because I just wanted to make some friends. And now all of these other people were making friends and connections and finding ways to do their projects better or more creative or just improve their skills. So I think that, and it's probably not just unique to this club, but a lot of clubs, it just brings people together. It introduces you to your neighbors. And those connections with people are so important.
It really is. How have you kept those connections going or maintained the engagement in the club?
Well, that was an early challenge, actually one that I'm still dealing with. One of the things that I hadn't planned on with this club was it working. And so I didn't think about what would be next. Our very first meetup was in the middle of November.
Okay.
And that was fine. It was a nice day that day. It was warm. It wasn't raining. But what it meant was our next meeting was going to be a ways out. So we talked about, well, when can we do this again? Well, it's about to be Thanksgiving, and then it's the holidays that come in December, and then it's the new year. So, and then it's going to be raining, and this type of club is usually going to meet, you know, in somebody's driveway, which is attached to their garage, which is usually their workshop. It's going to be rainy. It's going to be cold. So when can we do this? So we lost a little bit of momentum right there at the beginning. And I actually forgot your question.
Well, yeah, I can see how that can happen. I was asking kind of how you keep the momentum going, kind of keep
right.
The engagement.
So our second meeting got quite delayed because of all of that, but I didn't want to just let the fire burn out completely. And I thought, how can I sort of keep everybody engaged and this, you know, something's still going here. So I made a Facebook group, and it was the Paso Woodcrafters Facebook group. And I invited all the people who had shown up to that meeting to join that group, and they did. And then suddenly there was this online conversation going and people sharing pictures and progress. I remember seeing some pictures of somebody who was building some nightstands, and it was just some amazing work. And so people were getting to engage that way while we were trying to get through that, the holidays and then the rainy cold season, and then come back and be able to do something again.
I think you're offering some really good ideas that others might not have thought of when your meetup can be dependent on the weather or something unpredictable, making that shift to being also an online community in the interim between meeting can be really valuable. That's a great suggestion.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, What would you say is sort of the big lesson that you had to learn, that if you had to do it over again, you might do it differently?
Well, probably what I just said, I would probably start it at a different time of year if I knew that it was going to be successful and to not lose that momentum. You know, early spring would have been a good idea for this particular type of club. The other thing that I hadn't really thought through was originally my thought was, we're going to have all these members. Most of them are going to have a little workshop, and we're just going to go from workshop to workshop for each different meeting and maybe do projects together and just hang out. And then it dawned on me, which should have been obvious, we're working with power tools. We're working with things that can cut off your finger and worse. And so I realized that's probably not going to happen. I wouldn't be super comfortable having 12 people turn on my table saw, and I don't think anybody else would either, just because there could be some liability. You know, I don't know what all that liability is, but I knew that it was out there. And so my original idea of we're going to work in everybody's shop shifted more to we're just going to get together and we're going to talk, we're going to show and tell, we're going to do some challenges together where it'll be like our first challenge was a 2x4 challenge. And it came about because everybody there had a different, not only a different skill level, but a different skill set. So you had some people that could make furniture, and you had other people that work on a lathe and make a bowl. And these things are vastly different. And so somebody came up with the idea, let's just take a 2x4, each person, and you can make whatever you want.
Well, let me just stop 1 second. If somebody's not familiar with what a 2x4 is, can you describe it for listeners?
Well, I wish I had one around here, but I don't. Yeah, a 2x4 is 2 inches tall and 4 inches wide, and then it's whatever length you want. So we said, take a 2x4 that's 8 feet long. That's the maximum amount of wood you can use, but you don't have to use it all, and make whatever you want. And so for the beginners, if they wanted to, they could just take that 2x4 and paint on it. And that would have been something they created from a 2x4. Yeah. And so as it turned out, the things that were made were so imaginative and just, to me, really incredible pieces of work. And it ranged from somebody just took a little chunk of that wood and carved it and carved it and carved it until they made a ring. And
you mean like a wood ring you could wear?
Yeah. Right, a ring for your finger.
Okay.
Somebody else took this 2x4 and chopped it up into equal lengths and then used a bar down the middle to space these wood pieces apart from each other and put a decoupage pattern on there that was these koi fish. And it was just this beautiful piece of art.
Like that.
Somebody else took that 2x4 and they cut it up into a whole bunch of pieces and then they put it on their scroll saw, which a scroll saw cuts out little tiny pieces of wood. And they made this three-dimensional wood basket that collapsed. So you could open it and you could close it. But when it was open, it was like a bowl in there. And they brought it full of cashews. Somebody else.
Gosh.
I mentioned the guy that built the boats, the real boats. Well, he made a little, a miniature version of a sailboat that was mounted on some wood. And it was designed to go on a wall as a piece of art. And it was just incredible. Like the all of the different ideas that came back and the different styles and the different techniques was so cool to see.
Well, we want to know, what did you make for the 2x4 challenge? Or were you not participating as the founder of the club?
Well, I participated, but I couldn't win because, well, I bought the gift certificate that went back to that for the lumber store that put our postcards out. But I made I cut it up into a whole bunch of different pieces, and I created a sign that said Pastor Robles, and I filled it in with resin. And it was okay, but it was definitely not the best thing there. There was some really nice people.
I don't know about that. But Morgan, how would you say that the Paso Robles Woodcrafters Club matters in your community? I mean, we heard the story about how it's mattered to that one gentleman and his family. But in the bigger community, either of woodworkers or of Paso Robles, how has it mattered?
Yeah, I that's a good question. I think that it matters just because it can be challenging to make connections as an adult. And yeah. I think that continues to get more and more difficult as we age. And so as it turned out, a lot of the people that came to our meetings and are part of the group tended to be, not all of them, but they tended to be seniors and people who are retired. And I think for them, making new connections, and I'm in that group, I'm not retired, but I am officially a senior.
Okay.
But I think that the friendships they were able to make, and people were exchanging phone numbers, and I know that there's people that are hanging out in each other's shops outside of the club. And I just think that's really cool. It's really important. It's important for our mental health, and it's important just to stay active and busy and have somebody to do it with.
You are so right about that. That is some of the best reasons to matter. Well, as we wrap up, I have one last question for you. If you could have someone famous or generally well-known, alive or not,
okay,
become a member of the Paso Robles Woodcrafters Club, who would you want?
Who would it be? Okay, I got it. I got it.
Let's hear it.
This is an easy one, actually. It would be Nick Offerman. So I don't know if you know who that is, but he was Boss, the actor who was the boss on the comedy show Parks and Recreation that was on NBC a long time ago. And he was so funny. I mean, he is so funny. He's a great comedian, a great actor. And he happens to be a master woodworker. And I've seen him like on YouTube doing some of his woodcrafting. And so I think to have him come and hang out with us, first of all, he would just crack everybody up. And second, he could teach us a lot of stuff.
You know, that is a great person. I watched the show he and Amy Poehler did about crafting, because I'm a crafter, and I loved that show.
I'll have to check that out.
Great pick. I'm with you there. So tell our listeners how they can find you and follow up or join the Paso Robles Woodcrafters Club.
Sure. Well, we're on Instagram and Facebook, but probably the easiest way to find those is just to go to the website. It's pasowoodcrafters.com. You can read about the club there, and you can find the Instagram and Facebook links from there, and you can join the Facebook group and just become part of it. And everybody's welcome, any skill level. There's no cost to this. Everything's free. And we would just love to meet new people.
Thank you so much. I loved learning more about woodcrafting and hearing the stories. It really, really, this was a touching episode for me. So thank you for being here.
Well, thank you again for having me.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
As I reflect back on my conversation with Morgan and the Paso Robles Woodcrafters Club, I'm really struck by how important it was to start local. He used a neighborhood site like Nextdoor. We're not sponsored by them, but it is a good site to use to just check out if a club already existed. He wanted to make friends, so he asked his neighbors if they were interested in joining him in such a club. Then he spread the word offline. He knew it was going to be hard to drive people to a website, so he made flyers and took them to a local wood shop. And the businesses were so supportive and happy to help promote the Paso Robles Woodcrafters Club. It really reinforced that small town connection that can make a big impact. And he was really brave enough to start. As the classic Field of Dreams line reminds us, if you build it, he will come. And your courage can bring people together. As we heard in his story, they might arrive late, but they will come. He did have a valuable lesson learned, though, and that was to stay flexible. So if the weather turns or even plans change, keep your community connected through virtual meetings or starting an online Facebook group, because you might not always be able to get together in person, but you can still connect. All of these are simple, repeatable steps you can follow to start your own local club. And if this episode inspired you, I'd love to hear about it. Let us know if you started a club near you, just because your story might also inspire others to do the same. Thank you for listening to the Meet, Make, Matter podcast, where we celebrate the power of clubs. And if you're so inclined, please follow and subscribe so you never miss a story that matters. Thanks. Have a great day.